hearts in prayer. Lord, a blessing indeed it is to come into the house of worship and to gather together as a brotherhood with our children, our friends, our Lord. Thy word is before us, O Lord, and we rejoice and we pray a blessing upon our coming together. O Lord, as we will open thy word and read, we pray, O Lord, that these words would flow into our hearts, O Lord, and create in us the man, O Lord, that new man that thou art desiring to empower us to be, O Lord, if we simply just submit unto thee. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that thou would bless us one and all and open our ears and our hearts, O Lord, that we would hear what thou wilt speak unto us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was, with God's help, a desire that we would read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 3. Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 3. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And God bless. There was the last Wednesday we read of the closing verses of the last of the prophets of the Old Testament in Malachi, and we have since then an approximate 400 years, it is said, since Malachi had prophesied that. We read in the beginning, these first two chapters of Matthew, of the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And the 30 years or so that had transpired from the description of their births and the miracles that took place, we see the song of Mary as she cannot comprehend that God had chosen her, a lowly nobody, to be involved in the miraculous birth of her Savior. And we see what had taken place with John the Baptist's father and the miracles that had taken place there. And now, as Jesus is ready to begin his ministry, which there's only one detail, I believe, given of his entire 30 years, and it's only the Holy Spirit that is able to put a lid on those years that nothing is spoken of, and we can imagine whatever we want to. Nothing is said of those early years of Jesus until now. We see that John the Baptist, the reason he was born, was to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And we see him now bursting onto the scene. So really, he is the last of the prophets. Even though it is hundreds of years after Malachi has spoken by the will of God, so now John the Baptist comes out, and he is preaching in the wilderness of Judea. He didn't go into the cities. He went into the wilderness. And what is really, we have to really just consider how marvelous it must have been, the power in which he spoke. It said he spoken in the power of Elijah. He dressed like him. He ate like him. He had that power that Elijah the prophet had. He also had. And the people marveled. And it says as he spoke, he says, his first word is repent. Repent. That's his first word that he spoke that is recorded for us to know. Repent, ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it says, out to him went Jerusalem, all of Judea, and the regions round about Jordan. People were flocking to him to hear him preach. In the Acts of the Apostles, we read of Apostle Peter's first two sermons that are given. A few minutes long is all it takes for us to read them. Maybe 3-4 minutes, depends on our speed of reading. And we read the sermon that Peter gave. And in the first sermon, I believe it said 5,000 were baptized. In the second sermon, 3,000. And we read those sermons. So we read what the sermon said. And it moved 8,000 people in that time to repentance. It's the same word. It's the same power. The Spirit of God, his word is the same. It hasn't changed. It has no less power today than it had then. But before him, we see John preaching. And it says that all of those regions went to hear him preach, and they were baptized of him, confessing their sins. What was the message? Repent. Repent. Why is it that today there isn't this flocking towards a sermon to be heard? Cities don't gather around a preacher when he is preaching. And it takes 1,000 sermons to reach a soul instead of repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And It tells us that John had his raiment of camel's hair, leathern girdle about his loins. His meat was locusts and wild honey. And this is who the people went to see. Today, churches do many things to attract the young. There's all kinds of programs can be instituted and music and all kinds of things to make it attractive. Jesus doesn't need props. Jesus doesn't need anything. Jesus needs present who he is. Present who he is. That's it. If that doesn't move you, my dear friend, no music, no nothing else will move you. I'm not putting down music or anything like that. Don't. Songs and all those things are very necessary in our worship. But to hear the word and who Jesus is. In it doesn't say it in Matthew, but I think it's in Luke. It says when Jesus, as it tells us here, the baptism of Jesus, when he comes, John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God." We sang about the Lamb of God in this first hymn. The Lamb once slain. The guarded seal has now been broken. Matter of fact, in this reading, we see that veil between heaven that doesn't allow us a glimpse into heaven or anything to be heard from heaven is broken. It's lifted. That veil is lifted, and we hear the voice of God speaking. And we hear what he says. And it is only two or three times that this veil has been lifted and the voice of God comes down from heaven. And it is always in, if I could call it, an endorsement of his beloved son. This is my beloved son. I am pleased with him. Hear him. This is the voice from heaven. God speaks to you and to me. And John the Baptist was given a mission, speak about the coming of the Messiah. And he says, repent. And it says, many came. And they heard of repentance, and they confessed their sins and were baptized. But it says, John the Baptist looks and he sees many of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They came to his baptism. What does he tell them? He has some scathing words for them. He says, "Oh, you generation of vipers, snakes, you snakes in the grass." What is a snake? It's a symbol of the devil. The serpent is the symbol of the devil. The serpent is full of poison. He's sneaky. Venomous. And he calls the leaders of the religion, of the church, in that day, "You generation of vipers." He says, "Who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." You can't just come here to this to the baptism. You have to bring fruit that is meet for repentance. And he goes on, he says, "Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." He basically told them, "You are religious, but these stones have as much religion as you do. But God can from these stones raise up to him." But he won't in their hearts unless they repent. And so imagine if this is in our day. You know, a lot of us here have been coming to church all our life. That's all we know. It's a way of life for us. We go to church. We pray, we worship, we go home. Our lives are centered around church. Imagine, as these Pharisees and Sadducees, that was their life. Imagine being told, "You generation of vipers, you snakes in the grass, Who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Unless you bring forth fruit that is meet for repentance, you're going to meet your end. What do we say? What are you talking about? I go to church all my life. I've been baptized. These were the priests, the Sadducees. These were the priests of that time, are being told they're full of venom. They didn't come for the purpose that the Jerusalem and Judea and the regions around Jordan came. Those people came because they heard a word that convicted them. And they came to listen and to hear, who is this man that has burst onto the scene and is speaking to us about God and about judgment that is to come and about a hope that we can escape this judgment? They didn't come for that purpose. They come to see what is this drawing of all these masses. You know, when it says the regions around Jordan, when it says Jerusalem goes to him, when it says all Judea goes to him, that's not 100 people. That's thousands and who knows how many, tens of thousands. I don't know what the population was in that day, but it was huge. And they were coming to listen. And he tells them, he says, now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. He doesn't say that the axe is being forged. Get ready, it's being forged. He says, and he didn't say the tree is growing and it's going to get, he just says the axe is already laid at the root of the tree. And every tree that is not bringing forth good fruit, it is hewn down and cast into the fire. He's speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's telling them, there's no time for you. Now, was he wrong? Is he wrong? Because what's it been now? 2,000 years since then. 2,000 plus years since then. And the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. This is the end times. There is no other time that we can wait for and look for. The fulfillment of the prophecy has taken place. Jesus had come. The Lamb of God who came and gave himself for the world has come. And now it is up to us to know the will of God. We look at Jesus, what he did when he comes on to the scene, because he tells them, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He recognizes himself, who he is. And he says, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This has never been heard of in the Old Testament. Baptism itself was taking place not in the sense of the full immersion that we have that is being introduced here by John the Baptist, but baptism was really only for Gentile nations who were coming into Judaism, who were embracing Judaism. They are the ones who had to be baptized, and it wasn't really even the baptism of immersion such as is being done here by John the Baptist. It was really a self-baptism of washing, of making himself clean and so on, so that he would be able to be accepted into the religion of Judaism. So the priests at that time were saying, what is this baptism? That's not for me. And he's telling them that I baptize you with water, but there's one who's coming who says, I'm not even worthy to bear his shoes. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. This is something new now for them. No man had ever been baptized by the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament times. They were Spirit-led. They were Spirit-moved. But to be baptized by the Holy Spirit was something new for them. And he says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is the sermon that he's given. It's not 20 minutes long, 30 minutes long. It takes us a few minutes. And this had attracted perhaps tens of thousands of people to come and to listen. Is the fan in John's hand? No, he says it's in Jesus' hand. Yet John is saying, you generation of vipers, is he the one who is now able to, does he have that right to separate? No. He's warning them. You didn't come to be baptized unto the baptism of repentance because you don't bring the fruit that shows that you have come for that baptism. And if you have come to this baptism of repentance, you must bring forth that fruit. Otherwise, you're just venom. Because you will not listen to what the Spirit of God is directing him. And he says, Jesus has this fan that is in his hand, this fan, and he will purge his floor. He will separate the wheat from the chaff. He says, he will gather the wheat into the garner, and the chaff will be burned with unquenchable fire. That's the judgment. And so what precedes this judgment? The preaching of the word and the rejection of the word. That's what is bringing about this unquenchable fire. And Jesus comes in on the scene. It says, Jesus now comes from Galilee to Jordan unto John, and he is to be baptized of him. So we see that Jesus has a purpose. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had a purpose to come to the baptism of John, and it wasn't to be baptized. Jesus came, who John just spoke of as, I'm not worthy to bear his shoes. He comes and he tells John, he came to be baptized of John. Jesus? These Pharisees and Sadducees said, this baptism isn't for me. Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, who John looked at him and said, behold, the Lamb of God. He's saying, baptize me. And John is just, what? He forbade him. He said, no way. There's no way. He says, I have need to be baptized of thee. This is the one who is preaching. And of course, the word that every preacher preaches always is applicable to self first. And just because we preach the perfect will of God does not mean that we have mastered and are looking down now with some highness down upon anyone as the word is being preached. It's first applicable to the one who is speaking. And John is saying, who is saying, repent and be baptized, he is saying to Jesus, I have need to be baptized of you. And you're coming to me? And Jesus answers him and says, suffer it to be so now. Let it be. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus didn't get baptized because he was a sinner. He's the Lamb of God. The voice came from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In another portion, God says, hear ye him. And Jesus says it to fulfill all righteousness. Well, the Jew knew that every jot and tittle of the law had to be fulfilled. God doesn't judge us with a curve. He doesn't look and say, well, 80% of the people fulfilled 50% of my law, and so I'm going to judge according to the 50% fulfillment of my law. Every Jew knew that every jot and tittle had to be fulfilled. And Jesus says, if John the prophet, John the Baptist, is coming and preaching for baptism, I'm going to fulfill that law. And that is the fulfillment of righteousness, so that he also could fulfill that which he is calling all man to come and to do. Jesus did. And it says, to fulfill all righteousness, he says, suffer it to be so. And John then no longer argues, no longer puts up a defense of, he said he suffered it. And he suffered him. And Jesus was baptized. And when he was baptized, it says, when he went up straightway out of the water, lo, the heavens were opened unto him. We know of an occasion when the heaven was opened unto Stephen. And this is the same manner. The heavens are open. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. We see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit all together in the initiation, if that's what we can call it, of the ministry of Jesus, who had come as a Savior for you and for me. All three were working together, and all three continued to work together. And they point to Jesus. And Jesus is the one who you and I can only learn of. You and I cannot know the Father or the Spirit unless we know the Son. And it is the Son who came, who took on this flesh and blood, who lived that life, who lived that life to fulfill all righteousness. And then not only does he do that, he then baptizes us with his Holy Spirit and with fire. And with that comes the empowerment so that you and I can also fulfill all righteousness in Christ. And so, dear ones, when you and I know that we are looking for the judgment of God to be graded on a curve, it's because we are like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. We refuse to repent. God is a God of mercy and love, and he offers us life. He offers us this garner to be gathered into, his wheat. He's offering us heaven with him. It's up to, we choose heaven or this unquenchable fire where chaff will be burned. And so, my dear ones, as was mentioned in the prayer and as is mentioned in our emails, and we're looking forward to with a great anticipation to the baptism this coming weekend, it is a fulfillment of righteousness. It has been instituted by Jesus himself. You can't say in your heart, I'm going to come to God, but I'm not going to be baptized. You're rejecting the righteousness of God, who has instituted this and fulfilled it himself. And just as the people came confessing their sins, so all of us we come confessing our sins. Those of us who are seeking baptism, come confessing your sins. Those of us who have been baptized in the death of Christ and who look at the holiness of God, who look and realize that every jot and tittle must be fulfilled. In other words, when I see my life and I see that I lack, I ask for God's mercy as I repent. And I listen to the first word that is spoken of by John the Baptist. And it is the beginning of Jesus' ministry as well. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so you and I today, brothers and sisters and my dear friends, are called to repentance. Repent. Why? Because the axe is already laid to the root of the tree. There is no other age that is going to come. This is the age that will usher in the return of our Savior, to gather the wheat and to separate the chaff. And so, why do we come to church today? Do we come as the Pharisees and the Sadducees in our self-righteousness? Or do we come as the people of Judea and all that flocked around in their need, confessing their sin, repenting, changing, coming together into that image that Jesus gave us and showed us who he is, the way of salvation, the way to repent and to be born again and to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live this life that he is calling us to, a life of great joy, a great hope, a love, a joy that circumstances in the world can't change. This is what he's calling us to. That sinless Lamb of God. The hymn said, as we sang of the Lamb of God, it says, O rock of ages, cleft for me. That is Jesus. That cleft on that rock. It's him. Let's hide ourselves in him. May he bless his word upon our hearts this evening. Amen.